Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sunday afternoon, and this is Pause IM Radio. We're excited to be on the air and hosted by Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for today's program are Robert Brining and Jeremy Dunn. We'll be taking your calls and speaking with our featured member of the week. We encourage all of our listeners to phone in and share some of your life experiences. The number to call is 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause IM Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Robert. I am your host. I'm joined by my co-host, Jeremy. Jeremy, are you there?
Good evening, everybody. It's Jeremy Dunn. Here I am.
Just like every Sunday, right?
Every Sunday, just like church.
You know, we just change our time a lot, that's all.
Yeah, we need to stop doing that.
Yeah, well, the 9 o'clock, I think, is what everyone said it would be easier for them to listen to, so I'm hoping that we get some, you know, different listeners tonight than we usually have on the afternoon. You never know. But tonight's topic, we're going to talk about HIV stigma and how it's related to discrimination and different things like that. Is there anything you want to top it off with first, Jeremy?
Anything I want to top it off with first. Is this prime time, or am I allowed to speak freely?
It's still prime time.
Well, I think tonight we're going to be speaking about we're going to be talking about stigma and shame, and we're going to talk a little bit about some spirituality and learning, and I think that's where we're kind of going to drive the show tonight.
And for people who don't know, AIDS stigma or AIDS-related stigma refers to, you know, being prejudiced or discriminating against people who have HIV or AIDS or the groups and communities that are associated with it, because it's just not us, the people that are infected, that are, you know, experiencing stigma. It's the groups and the families and, you know, the partners of the people who are you know, associated with us.
That's correct.
Yes, and it kind of goes alongside with racism and racism and homophobia and, you know, all different other kinds of discrimination that kind of all settles in and kind of piles up together.
Yes, and you know, the word stigma really means, and I'm reading this right out of a book because I love the actual meaning. It's the word stigma means mark of discredit. And it comes from an older word meaning stigmata, which is used to describe the wounds of the crucifix. HIV stigma refers to prejudice, discounting, discrediting, and discrimination of people who are perceived to have and do have HIV, as well as anyone associated with them. So it goes right in line with what you were talking about there, Robert.
Right. A lot of the factors that contribute to it is basically, to what, from my experience, from what I've experienced in this, you know, living with HIV and being stigmatized, if you want to call it that, is that a lot of it has to do with inaccurate information of how it is actually transmitted. People aren't educated, so they fear it. You know, people fear the unknown. It's like one of those life traits that everybody has.
Right. And you know, it's what's interesting to find out is that even say in 2008, people still, there's a lot of folks out there who think that HIV is not sexually transmitted, is not sexually transmitted, which actually it is.
Right.
It's, you know, it's transmitted through blood, semen, vaginal fluids, breast milk, and I think I named them all off, didn't I?
Yeah, I think you got them all. Faring needles, too.
There's four fluids that it can be transmitted through. And folks just... Sometimes they don't know whether it's, and if we talk a little bit about stigma, it's because we don't want to talk about sex openly and honestly, and it's hard for us to talk about it because, you know, there's a stigma around sex as well, because sex is considered, you know, for some folks it's considered dirty. For me, it's intimacy. But for a majority of people, sex is considered private. And
absolutely.
And we get uncomfortable when we start talking about it. And I know that in my experiences, speaking about sex can lead to people kind of pull back a little bit, and they're like, oh my God, are you really talking about that? And it's true. People are afraid to discuss it. So there's not just the HIV outbreaks, but to the probably the most stigmatized sexually transmitted diseases that we all hear about is herpes and syphilis. So with herpes, it's visual. With HIV, it's not. With syphilis, there are some visual. It can be visual. It probably will go unnoticed. So with AIDS and HIV, you don't see it until it's too late. It doesn't show up until it's too late. So there is that stigma around, you know, I don't want to talk about it because that's going to infer that I'm doing something bad. So, you know, the stigma attaches to that, and so does the shame, you know. When we hold on to our ideals of what's good and what's right, sex certainly doesn't rank among them.
Right. And what comes with the stigma is, because of the stigma and the discrimination around the whole HIV and AIDS, you know, epidemic, it's people are now reluctant to get tested. They're afraid to get tested because of the stigma that comes with it. They're afraid to go and get medical treatment and take antiviral drugs and different things like that. And because of them, their unwillingness to get tested because of the stigma, they are being diagnosed late and the virus is already progressing and has already progressed to AIDS, making treatment less effective and causing death earlier.
That's absolutely correct. A lot of folks are afraid because stigma could mean being excluded from employer's health insurance. It can mean being excluded from sporting events. It can mean a lot of things that's very real for a lot of people. So stigma can also drive people into years of depression as well, hiding away. I really think that the more that we talk about HIV and AIDS, the more we're going to chip away at that wall of stigma.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of the stigma is what they call internal stigma or self-stigma. You know, which
yep.
is when we place the stigma upon ourselves, kind of like what you were talking about, you know what I mean, with the depression and different things where people are afraid, you know what I mean, of giving the disease to their family members or their partners or to people. Like, I have this quote here from this woman in Vietnam, and she says, "I'm afraid of giving the disease to my family members, especially my youngest brother, who is so small. It would be so pitiful if he got the disease. I am aware that I have a disease, so I do not touch him. I talk with him only. I don't hold him in my arms now." That's from a lady in Vietnam.
Yep.
I mean, what is going on?
Well, a lot of it also has to do with a lot of it has to do with cultural beliefs, religious beliefs. For instance, in Papua New Guinea, there were reports of HIV positive, full-blown AIDS patients being buried alive because the villagers thought that HIV and AIDS was a form of witchcraft, and part of their belief system was to bury them alive, to bury the disease and bury the witchcraft and get rid of it and hide it. That's a lot of where the stigma comes from. You go to Africa, stigma is all over the place. You know, you go to South Africa, for example, where women are not allowed, if some women, if they admit that they have HIV, then they can be, then they get thrown out of their villages, you know, and that is frightening. Even here in America, people might not be welcomed home anymore because they come out as being HIV positive. Stigma can be a great motivator, and stigma can be a great demotivator.
Right, and then, you know, of course, I did a little extra research on this because we were doing a show on it, so I wanted to make sure, you know, I had the right stuff going on. And you know, stigma just is, like, it affects different areas. Like, it affects the government. There's a lot of laws in different countries that, you know, it doesn't allow people to travel into their country if they're HIV positive. And, you know, then it affects people, like you were saying earlier, with health care and in their employment and job, you know, being discriminated there. Then there's also the community. And then, like earlier with that girl from Vietnam, her family. I mean, it's kind of very interesting. I have some research here that I looked up in. Did you know that I didn't – I mean, I know this, but it shocked me to read it actually, like, you know what I mean, on paper, that the USA is one of the countries that doesn't allow people to enter if they're HIV positive.
Yes, that's true. As a matter of fact, President Bush just signed the lift to ban the to lift the ban on HIV positives into the United States. However, it won't take effect until – the new PEPFAR bill is signed into law, and we don't know when that's going to happen. So if someone is coming into the United States and they're HIV positive and they don't say something, that they're a felon. They're actually a criminal. So the United States, Saudi Arabia, are a couple of the countries that still have a ban against HIV-positive people from entering the country.
Very interesting.
It's frightening, actually.
Yeah, I hear you.
And
was I coming in low?
What's that?
Did I sound far away to you?
A little bit, yes.
Okay, do I sound better now?
You do. You're with us. You're right in the same room.
All right. That sounds good. I'm reading some other things here about, you know, the countries and how it discriminates in the government. And Uganda, the president of Uganda supports the national policy of dismissing or not promoting members of the armed forces who test HIV positive.
Yes.
The Chinese government is a mandatory HIV test for any Chinese citizen who has been living outside of the country for more than a year. I mean, these are absurd.
And again, it goes back to cultural beliefs. You know, it is absurd. We can't fathom to think that way, but it also happens here. People get passed up for promotions. People get passed up for jobs. They go into the interviews. They'll get passed up for the jobs only because someone perceives that, A, they'll be sick a lot, B, they'll be missing work a lot, C, that they won't be around. You know, so there's a lot of misconceptions. There's a lot of false beliefs around HIV, even today, and especially in America.
Right. What
and
do you...
one of. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I was listening.
Oh, I was going to say, one of the probably where we need to get into more touch is with our youth, you know, getting out there so they really understand what's going on. Just getting people to appreciate and understand their own health issues. That's so important.
Yeah, just hold on 1 second. We actually have a caller on the air.
Great.
Hold on 1 second. Hello, caller 212. You're on the air.
Oh, my God. It's me again, Timothy from New York.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
How are you, Robert and Jeremy?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm listening to you. I thought I'd call in and comment.
Oh, thanks.
So I have a couple things to say. I hope that's okay. and if it isn't, you can just hang up on me. But I'm having some health issues this week.
Okay.
And I've been positive a long time, and I very rarely have health issues. very serious ones, but I'm having a problem with my stomach. None of my food is digesting, and it's now coming out that my pills are not absorbing into my bloodstream because they're not staying in my system long enough, so my T cells dropped and my viral load went up. And I got this news this week, and all I could think of was the last time I called in, Robert, you had said that you would not change your status.
Yeah.
If you had a choice. And I think you're nuts, I have to tell you, and I'm sorry, I mean no disrespect.
Oh, not at all.
But, dude, I mean, all week I've been a mess, and if I could do without this, I mean, it's such a stress to think. It's like, it's one thing when you get a cold, but now it's like, it's twofold. I might have an infection in my intestines that could kill me, and they don't know, if they can't figure it out, my pills are not being absorbed into my system. So it's a twofold problem that I have. And if I could wish this away, I would. And I have to say, I mean, I think it was Jeremy that just said we have to educate our youth about what's really going on. I mean, you can say whatever you want. It's your show and it's your message. But to tell people that you're happy being HIV positive, I think that's a wrong message to preach to the youth of America. It's not fun. It's not something to be happy about.
It's not something that I'm happy about. It's just something that I wouldn't change.
But that doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't you change it? If you change it, you must be comfortable with it.
It molded me into the person that I am today, which is a better person before when I was drug addicted, sex addicted, and everything else before I was HIV positive. So it actually made me grow up a lot faster. And it made me become who I am today, which is doing good things for people, you know, around the world.
And I'm not trying to discount that. I just, personally, I think to preach the message that you're perfectly happy being HIV positive and you wouldn't change it, I mean, saying that you wouldn't change it means that you must be comfortable with it.
I am comfortable with it. You have to live with it now. I have to be comfortable with it.
You have to live with it, but you don't have to like it.
I didn't say I liked it. I just said I wouldn't change it.
But what's the difference?
The difference is the person I am today wouldn't be here if I wasn't positive, if I didn't experience everything like that.
But how do you know that? Do you know what I'm saying?
Because before I found out I was positive, I was going to bathhouses, doing drugs, you know what I mean, and not coming home for weeks. I mean, and now I'm settled down, I'm responsible, I have a partner, I take care of my health, and I do good for other people. You know what I mean? And that's because I found out my status, I got tested, and I accepted it and decided to help others with it instead of, you know what I mean, just dealing with it myself. You get so much out of helping others.
And I, as I said when I started, I'm not discounting the work you do. I think it's amazing that you're spreading the word and you're turning it into a, you know, any media or any press about this disease is obviously a good thing on the positive
right.
or negative side. You know, it gets people talking, and that's always a good thing. But, I mean, for me to... For someone to say that they wouldn't change their status, I mean, I don't wish anything on anybody, but, you know, God forbid something happens, I bet you dollars to donuts you'll be saying, I wish I wasn't positive. The
and
first
you know
time
what?
Something
that could
goes
be true,
wrong.
But right now, nothing has ever happened to me. I have never, ever gotten sick from it.
Right.
So because I haven't experienced that, maybe that's why I wouldn't change it.
Right.
You know what
well,
I mean?
You know, and I'm sorry, this is Jeremy, and I just want to interject really quickly. I think that everybody's experience with this disease is individual. No one's going to have the same experiences no matter what. Because, you know, not to take too glossy of a picture over this, but everybody is different. Everybody goes through the motions a little bit differently. Everybody experiences all of this stuff differently. There are those who are what are called long-term non-progressors who never do get sick, who never do, you know, go into full-blown AIDS. Others do it a lot more rapidly. Others will do it a lot more slowly. So I think what both of you are saying is good on both sides, because Tim, you've been living with it for, you know, God knows how long. I think you said what, 25 years? Is that right?
23 years.
Oh. 23 years. I just added two to you, kind of like dog years. So you've been living with it for 23 years. Rob, you've been...
Seven.
7 years. Okay, and I've been living with her for about 11 or so.
Okay, we got a little in between.
Okay, in between there. So here's the thing, you know, because Rob hasn't gotten sick yet. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't experienced it. Tim's, you know, gotten sick, and he has experienced it. I think that just goes to show that, you know, in that living with this disease can make people view their lives very, very differently from when they were positive. Now, I will say that if I could change my status today, I would. Absolutely.
Right. And look, I totally get it. And it's like I look up in the sky and I, you know, am grateful now. I look at life differently and I have a completely different perspective. But then I ask God, wasn't there a different way that you could have done this for me? Like, did I have to get the plague for me to realize how fabulous life was? Like, couldn't I just have been hit over the head or something? And, you know, I just woke up one day and said, you know what, life is amazing. I should embrace it. Instead, I had to get this. And, you know, it was a slow, long road to get to the point of where I feel like, Rob, I know that I can't change it. I live with it, and it has made me a different person. I wouldn't say that it's the only thing that has shaped who I've become, but it's certainly been a big part of it. But I guarantee you that if I could change it, I would do it in an instant. And these things that are happening to me right now are the biggest reasons why. And it's not just about getting a cold or a flu. Do you know what I mean? It's now I'm dealing with something that's even a bigger monster, and it's the fear of the unknown. And I could get a call from my doctor tomorrow, and he could say, it's cryptosporidium, and we're going to give you some antibiotics, and you'll manage it this way, and that'll be the end of it. But, you know, who knows? They're talking about putting me in the hospital for tests if they don't know what's going on. And all of this stuff it's scary. It's a scary, scary place to be, especially because I am a long-term survivor. I mean, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, okay, well, you're not, you know, your luck's going to run out at some point. So, you
right.
know, I mean, I'm a mess when I get a cold, so you can imagine that when I looked in the toilet and saw that my pills just ran right through me in whole form, I'm like, well, something's wrong. So,
something is very wrong, but you are getting looked at.
I have
right.
a question for you, Tim.
Okay.
Since we're doing a show tonight on stigma, do you have anything that you can share about that?
About the stigma of it?
Yeah. Have you ever experienced it?
Remember,
we're on the air, so don't curse.
No, I'm not going to curse. Meaning what? Have people discriminated against me because of it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think I said when, you know, the last time I called in that when I was first diagnosed, I told everybody, all of my sexual partners, and of course I didn't have sex for, you know, 5 years. But that was really the only thing. I tell everybody, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm proud that I've survived it. So I'm not ashamed. And I don't buy into stigma. I don't buy into someone discriminating against me because of the fact that I'm gay or HIV positive. So, I mean,
yeah,
I'm sort of...
What do you mean by that? You don't buy into it. It happens, though.
No, but I mean, it doesn't affect me. I could care less. I mean, luckily I work for myself, right? And I work in television. So it's like I work in an industry where there are a lot of gay people. And, you know, I think it would be different for me if I did work in corporate America, which I don't. And I don't understand that whole mindset. And or if I worked on a police force or if I was a fireman or something like that, where, you know, if people knew when you're dealing with, you know, straight people who are just so closed-minded, I would imagine you'd have to tailor your life to that sort of a situation. But I am such a loudmouth, in-your-face person that I could care less what people
you
know about me and
say.
How they feel.
Right?
It's true, Jeremy.
You don't say.
It's so true. I know I hide it well. But
I think you need to work on your shyness issue. You're really demure, and you need to come out of your shell.
But listen, I just want to say, before I got on the air, I heard you saying that the government is not letting people into the country who are HIV positive. And, you know, I got to say, they should take care of us first. I mean, and I'm not I'm not making a sweeping generalization that they're all illegal immigrants, but you know, people cross the border from Mexico to the United States to have babies. So, and the government takes care of them. And people come into this country illegally and then they get sick and the government takes care of them. The government needs to take care of us first. I've been paying taxes my whole life.
The reason they do that is because they think that it poses a public health risk, and that's why they don't allow people to come in like that, and it's not true. You know what I mean? Like, me being in public isn't a risk to anybody.
No, it's not.
But that's why they do that. That's why they have the ban.
I mean,
the reason why the ban was in place was it was put in place around 1984 or 86.
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, it was a Ronald Reagan thing because they didn't understand the virus, and they didn't understand the transmission methods, and so they were trying to, in the early days, they didn't know how it was done, how it was spread around, so they wanted to ban people who had it from coming in, but now, with the more advances, the more scientific advances that we've made, a lot of the medical breakthroughs that we've made, the antiviral therapies that we have, the ban is no longer required. It's not necessary because we understand it more today than we did 28 years ago, almost 30 years ago. So it's we're moving forward, but we still have this particular law in place, and I also want to add that there are states that are, because of the stigma surrounding HIV, are passing laws that are saying that people who are HIV positive shouldn't have sex. They're passing laws of mandatory disclosure. They're passing laws. They're allowing people to be prosecuted. For instance, in California, a man is being prosecuted, is being sued by his wife. The California Supreme Court said that it was okay to do this, to sue him, even though he infected her unknowingly, unwittingly. And the California Supreme Court said, yeah, that's okay to sue over. So there are...
Well, wait a minute. She should sue him because he was probably out having sex with another man behind her back, even if it wasn't another man, even if it was a hooker. He was cheating on her. He was putting – this is the thing about straight men. No, well, then if he didn't know that he had it, how do you think that he got it?
What if he had it beforehand? Not everybody gets it from sex.
Because he didn't have it before they got married because you have to have a blood test.
They both didn't have it they didn't get the blood. They were both diagnosed 3 months after they got married.
I don't know. I mean, I would have to know the whole circumstances, but I mean,
yeah, right.
For a woman, this is my biggest problem with straight men having sex with gay men.
Here's the catch. The whole story is that she was also having sex with other people.
Oh, well then forget it. That's ridiculous. She could have given it to him.
Exactly. But because he was having homosexual affairs, the Supreme Court cited that, go ahead and sue him, but he can't countersue. So there are things like that are happening out there, and all because, and it does, and if I'm being too simple about this, it really does break down simply to stigma, that people just don't understand. And they don't take the time to understand. And so they
understand what? Are you saying that the guy did have homosexual relations? Did he sleep with men while he was married to this woman?
Yes.
Then he deserves to get sued. But he deserves to get sued.
Wait a minute. Now you're crossing into another realm of where it's criminal behavior to be homosexual.
No, I'm not. She has a right to sue him because he lied to her about who he really was, and by having sex with another man, he put not only himself, but he put her in danger. And it's one thing if you
want
to put yourself in danger.
Hold on, Tim. What if he was having sex with other women and he contracted it?
I think it's a completely different, I think it's a different theory.
Absolutely not. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot treat two things differently like that. Sex is sex is sex, regardless of whom you're having it with.
That's not true. You cannot get married to a woman and say that you're straight and then have sex with a man and not expect her to retaliate. I mean, that is just, you're just lying. You're just lying, Jim. I understand what you're saying, but this man should not have gotten married to begin with.
You're right. I think he shouldn't have. But you know what? We're not in the position to tell him that. Everybody comes out, and I'm not going to make this about a gay debate, but what I will tell you is that just because some of us came out sooner and were more comfortable with ourselves, we can't expect other people to do the same. Again, it's an individual thing. You can't expect people to behave like you because they're not you. You can't expect people to make the same decisions that you would have because they're not you. We have to allow people to make their own mistakes and let them deal with them the way they're going to deal with them. But, I just want to also say that just because he had sex with men behind her back does not mean that he should be sued. If he did not give her HIV, but he still was having sex with men, or with women for that matter, it shouldn't matter who he had sex with behind her back. The fact of the matter is that he was having sex with other people, regardless if it was a man or if it were a woman. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. We can't put a double standard on it like that.
Okay, I agree with you. I think that the case should be completely thrown out because he cannot countersue her. But I think that you're right. It doesn't matter who he had sex with. If he was having sex, we all know now that sex is high risk no matter who you have it with. If he was having unprotected sex with somebody, then he was putting his wife at risk, whether it be male or female, then he should be sued. The fact that she was also cheating completely makes it a ridiculous lawsuit. Nobody knows who got it from who. So it should be thrown out.
I agree with that.
Thanks
for calling in and sharing your story with us. We're going to try to let some other people get on.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks Tim. But I also want to state that the Supreme Court said that it was okay to sue based on even if they didn't know. So that was my point with the stigma and
right.
and the state's ruling. So it's always fun to have Tim on the phone.
Yeah, right.
Tim, thank you so much for calling. You're a great sport. Thank you very much.
Yes, it's always wonderful to have callers call in and share their experiences.
Speaking of calling in, the phone number is 347-215-9442. Give us a call and share your experience with the HIV. Or
you know,
live, for that matter.
Ooh, caught me off guard a little bit.
I'm good at that.
So, you know, it also affects the community, the stigma, which we kind of got off that subject when he called in. Go ahead.
I was gonna say that I really think that he kind of reinforced some of our points that we were discussing earlier about stigma, that you may not, as Tim put it, buy into it and allow that to affect you. The truth of the matter is that it happens. People discriminate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it happens all around the world. It's not just like, you know what I mean, here in the U.S. state. I mean, people are forced to leave their home and to change their daily habits of going to the gym and food shopping and socializing with other people because they're afraid of being judged because people aren't educated. Like, it always goes back to the same thing. Just people aren't educated.
Right. And sometimes we ourselves, being HIV positive, those of us who aren't willing to talk about it, who aren't willing to look at it square in the face, and who don't acknowledge that it's happening to them. You know, like for example, me. I said, "Oh, no way, not going to happen." I denied it for years. but it was because of the stigma. It was because of the shame that I was going to feel. And that's why I didn't test as soon as I should have. You know, and so it's very, very it can be very debilitating.
Yes, it can.
The stigma and the shame of this.
Right, and also, you know, there's I mean, you know, we talked about it in the community a little bit and in the government, but one of the things we didn't touch is healthcare. And, you know, with going to the hospital and withholding of treatment and hospital staff refusing to treat you, or if you go to the dentist and they, you know, do things that you find suspicious, that after you told them that you're HIV positive, that now all of a sudden they're changing your schedule. Like, I have this, where is it at? I don't even know where I put it. This lady who was, I don't know where it is. I don't know where it went. I lost it in the paper somewhere. But anyway, she went to the dentist, and she's been going there regularly for like 2 years. And I guess she was positive for a short amount of time, and she didn't, you know what I mean? Like, she didn't want to tell, because there's that stigma, so she's afraid to tell her dentist, you know, that I have HIV. And she finally went and told her, or told the dentist that she was positive, and the dentist started switching her appointments. And they started making her, well, you have to be the last appointment of the day. You know what I mean? And like she said, when she would go in there, she would be the last appointment of the day, the last appointment of the week, so they could sterilize everything properly. The guy would wear three gloves. They would put, you know, like a cover over the chair, you know what I mean, and different things like that, because they're not educated. And these doctors are doing this, you know what I mean? They should be educated. And if this is happening to you, you know what I mean, like, you need to do something. Don't be afraid to talk to people about this. There's all these places that you can do, what are they called, AIDS Fund and what's the other one in Philly? I can't even think of it right now. Where you can go, Philadelphia Fight, you can look up and you can go online and they have things there. I think it's fight.org and there's people that you can talk to.
Yep. There's tons of websites out there, the CDC, UNAIDS. Okay, I'll plug it. My website, positivelyspeaking.com.
There you go.
You know, pauseim.com. There's all kinds of websites out there that aidsmeds.com that have tons and tons of information for people to research. And if you're comfortable talking to your doctor about it, talk to your doctor. That's what he or she is there for, is to discuss these things. You can always look up for infectious disease doctor who specializes in AIDS to discuss options with them. But the information is out there. It's just a matter of doing something with it. And it's also so important to overcome stigma and to overcome the shame, and not just for other people to have the information and to be well-schooled, but also for the HIV-positive person. It's so important to really understand what's going on with your own body, to understand your own health, to understand the virus, to become an expert, if you will, you know, because healthcare is not it's not a one-way street. It takes two. It takes your doctor and it takes you. And if you feel shamed because of the stigma, you probably won't go and learn about this disease. It's very, very hard to get past that shame, to get past that emotion of and it to get past that emotion of shame and to a place where you can accept it and a place where you can talk about it.
Very true, very true. And the one quote that I have written here for me to mention is, it says, "Be prepared to experience stigma or feel shame about your HIV status. which can stem from old deep-seated feelings that predate your diagnosis or public ignorance about your condition. It's like what around you and what you see on the media, it, like that influences you and puts that shame and that fear in you to ask questions, and you should never be afraid to ask questions. You want to move over to a little bit and talk about how stigma might, you know, involve religion and spirituality and God and faith and things like that. Did you look any of that, a little bit of that up?
Oh, of course I did. Are you kidding? I look everything up. Matter of fact, I have it sitting right in front of me.
Hey, well, the one thing I want to mention is this quote, and I'm taking it out of the book, and that's fine because it means something to me. So it says, "The soul is the spark of life, the life force, the spirit that makes us want to love, hope for better things, honor truth, or offer compassion. In fact, observing, appreciating, and caring for one's spirit is why many people use the term spirituality." And that's a term that I use. I don't consider myself somebody who's religious. I don't go to church. I don't believe that I have to go to church, you know, and I'm not trying to get off on a church tangent, but I just believe that being spiritual and talking, you know what I mean, to God when I want to talk to God, you know what I mean, and when I feel I need to talk to God is good enough for me.
Sure thing. You know, I think spirituality, religion, and faith is as personal to someone as anything can be.
As your sexual orientation.
Well, absolutely. You know, it because many folks do grow up with not everyone, and I just want to state that up front, not everybody has a religious background. Not everybody grew up going to church. Not everyone has a spiritual or religious background. But for those that do, it does shape a lot of who they grow into, of the person that they become. Whether it's because they viewed the experience as a positive one, or they viewed the experience negatively. If they think, you know, if somebody thinks that, you know, the church is too confining, is too restrictive, you know, people are going to rebel against that. Or you go onto the other spectrum and say that this is where I feel most at home. This is where I feel absolutely at peace and as one and in harmony is in the church or in a congregation or in some spiritual sense. It can shape someone, and I think it does. I think it really does. But what I also want to say is that, and I agree with, and I think this is in the book. By the way, we're looking at the book that we're talking about is A Patient Expert Walks You Through Everything You Need to Learn to Do the First Year of HIV, and it's written by Brett Gronick, who is the patient expert, and I just wanted to let our listeners know what we're referring here. But on page 26, he talks about faith is not a substitute for medical care, and it's so. I think that's a very important piece of advice out of this particular book, because it's. It's hard for physicians to treat their patients if they're not willing to accept the medical care. So,
hold on 1 second, Jeremy. We have a caller on the air. Okay, hold on 1 second.
Right.
I don't want to cut you off. Just remember what we're talking about.
Got it. I'm there.
Hi.
Caller area code 414. You're on the air.
Hi, Rob and Jeremy. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you? Who's this?
This is Terry.
Hey,
hi,
Terry. How are you?
I'm good. I just got home, and I wanted to check in and see how you guys were doing on the show and kind of listened a little bit to what Tim was saying. And he's always an interesting guy. I like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, you guys were talking about stigma. It's like, you know, well, I'm a 22-year survivor, and stigma was a real big thing in my life, but, you know, I get more angry about it than I do... you know, feeling shame or you know, however you want to explain it that way. But, yeah, the anger for me is what gets me with the stigma of employment. Even my gay friends, you know, it's like some of them are, you know, they're with HIV, it's like it doesn't exist in their world because they're not infected.
Have you ever experienced it?
Stigma?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You want to share a little bit with us?
Even recently, it's like, you know, I had made some new friends, and I divulged the fact that I was HIV positive, and within 2 weeks, you know, totally disappeared from my life.
Wow.
But
that sucks.
Well, it does, you know,
yeah.
And it's like...
You know, I think it sucks not just for you, but, God, look at what they're missing out on.
That's true.
You know, it's really sad when we limit ourselves to our preconceived ideas and notions. That's what's sad.
Yeah.
You
That's
know.
True. And then you know, I did work in the medical profession, and you know, I was terminated from my job, not because of quote-unquote HIV, but, you know, in reality it was. So,
right.
And you told them about that beforehand, before you were hired, or?
It happened while I was employed. You know, I got tested, and I got really sick and, you know, ended up in the hospital, so... when they found out there was a blood disorder, that's how they explained it at the time, a blood disorder, within 2 weeks after I returned to work, I was terminated because I had come into work late 2 days.
It's horrible.
So, but that's, you know, that's, I've kind of gotten over that part of it, and I still do some work in the medical profession. It's just that I'm not into nursing anymore. I'm doing more medical transcription type work.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny that you should say that, because it's interesting how the medical industry can discriminate and against people with HIV, because there's a lot. I know a few nurses who are HIV positive who are terrified to say anything because they're in fear of losing their jobs.
Absolutely.
And you would think of the medical industry, with them being the ones that should be the most educated, they would be. And that stigma, you would think it would not be there.
Right.
They would be more accepting of it.
But, so let me ask this question. I'll just throw this out there. Do you think that because if in the medical industry, not everybody is familiar with HIV, not everybody's an HIV expert, so not that's why you have specialties, you know, and a virologist who is a medical doctor is not necessarily going to be good at emergency medicine. So you wouldn't go to them with a broken leg or a, you know, because they're not going to know what to do for you. And vice versa. So do you think that's part of it, you know, where we're not, because let's see if I can speak tonight. The medical industry is so specialized. Do you think that has a hindrance?
I think it's more, they were more concerned about, you know, potential lawsuits in case, you know, something did happen, any transference at all. You know, I think that's where mine came in. As far as, you know, what you were talking about, yeah, there's a lot of different departments that they have no expertise in, you know, HIV, or, you know, in particular when I had cancer and went to a skin cancer, and I went to a dermatologist, and he was an elderly doctor. He stood in the doorway of the lab room or the exam room And he was diagnosing me from the doorway, you know, 7 feet away. And it was like, okay, how can you do this, you know? He wouldn't touch me.
So,
but it's just those little things, you know, that, and, you know, so usually when I make an appointment now for any type of exam, you know, the doctor knows I'm HIV positive. Now, if you don't want to treat me, I know that it's against, you know, you can't do that, but I don't want you if you're afraid to touch me.
Absolutely right. I agree with you on that one.
So, and I mean, I have really good medical care here in Wisconsin, so, you know, I can't complain about it, but there's a few that you have to step back and say, okay, you know, I mean, they have the right to, I suppose. I mean, they've taken an oath to care
to
for
do
people.
No harm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, I also, you know, I want to be respectful of them as well. And if they don't want to treat me, I'd rather know that up front so that I can find someone that will.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for calling in, Terry. We're winding down to our last couple minutes.
Thanks, Terry.
Okay. Talk to you
thanks
later.
Thanks for joining us.
Have a good evening.
So I just want to remind everybody that if you want to learn a little bit more about me, you can go to PozIM.com, and you can also learn more about Jerry at PositivelySpeaking.com. That's positively with a Z. Is that right?
That's right. Positively
and,
Z.
Right, and if you want to learn more about our guests that were on the show that called in, you can always join the PozIM community, and you can learn because we're all members there. And, you know, I'm glad everybody joined us. It was, you know, we got a pretty good crowd in the chat room at least tonight with our new time.
Yes, it was. I think we did. I got to tell you, it was a great show.
Yeah, it was very, very, very interesting. I find it, you know, I like hearing other people call in and share their story because it makes us feel that we're not alone. You know what I mean? And that's why we're doing this.
And we're certainly not alone. And on that note, I sometimes wish, I will tell you this. I look forward to the day where we don't have to be talking about this anymore.
Right? Me too.
You know, I think what a wonderful moment that will be. But for now, it's about living today, living in this moment, and making sure that we are doing our very best to promote health, wellness, and the right information. When people are looking forward for it, and to live as an example, so that stigma is erased.
It does exist. It's very scary. It's a scary world that we live in 2008.
Yes, it is.
You know what? I had this real quick before we get off. I had this little study that was done, and at the end of 2007. 33 million people were living with HIV. And during that year, 2 million people died of AIDS-related illnesses. That's really scary. It just proves that HIV and AIDS affects everybody. And you don't have to know somebody specifically for it to affect you. It's out there. You know what I mean? It's like a ghost.
What was that study? I'm sorry. What was the year?
2007. At the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah,
33 million were living with HIV, and 2 million died in that year.
Yeah, I thought you said 97 there for a minute. I'm like,
nah.
I don't think that's right.
it's kind of scary, you know. It's very scary.
And if you think about that, those are only the reported cases. So,
right.
You know, they're saying that 1 in 4 of every infected people don't know that they have it. 1 in 4. So what's preventing them from being tested? Knowledge and stigma.
Absolutely, and there's so much of it out there. And I think just by doing this, we break down a little barrier every week. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like we chip away at that wall every week, and we're like, we're going to fight, and we're going to say that we're normal, and you're just like us. You know what I mean? we go through the same experiences, and to go back to, this is why I created the Paz I Am community, so people can come and share their experiences and find similarities in what we think are differences. You know, a lot of people think that I'm the only one who went to the bathhouse and did the drugs. Well, you're not. Log on to the community. Or you're the one, you know, you're the only one who, you know, used to do drugs and got it through needles. It's you're not the only one. And the stigma makes you feel that you are the only one.
Yeah. Stigma leads to shame, which leads to anger, depression. It can lead to a lot of things. And HIV is not something that you need to be ashamed of.
No, I shout it from the rooftops.
HIV is not something that you should be... It's not the person.
Right.
It's circumstances. It's choices that we've made. It's behaviors that we've engaged in. But it's not the person.
Right.
And if anybody takes a message away from this show tonight, it's you. If you have HIV, or if you know someone who has HIV, know that it's not you. It's not the person. It's just, it is what it is, and we have to face it together, all of us.
And one of the members in online, I'm sorry to cut you off, but one of the members online, you know, makes a good point that, you know, there's not enough education about it. A lot of people get their education from TV, and TV represent things wrong all the time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If they don't get it from the TV, they get it from the Internet, and there's a lot of bad Internet sites out there that give bad information. So, you know, you have both places. So we have to be vigilant in our stance. We have to be vigilant in our fight, and we have to educate.
Absolutely.
You know, and not.
And I just want to thank everybody. We're getting down to our final 2 minutes, so I just want to remind right? We should have a 2-hour show. No. I just want to remind everybody that this will be our new time. We will be here every Sunday at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You know, tell your friends about us. Check out our websites, Positively Speaking and Pos I Am. There's links in the chat room. And I just want to remind everybody that next week, next Sunday, we're going to have a very special guest, somebody who's very dear to me and Jeremy's heart.
Is it Grover
from
Sesame Street?
It's Grover. No, it's actually Bob Bowers. One
Tough
Pilot.
Oh, that's even better.
Right? And if you don't know anything about Bob, I advise you to go to his website, onetoughpirate.com, or go to hivictorious.com, or go to whatifitwereyou.org. I think that one's an org. But I would advise you to go to these websites and read about this man who has inspired me, and I'm sure has inspired you.
He's inspired me a great deal, actually.
It's just amazing. Just reading his website has made me change from a blog to a community. You know what I mean? He made me see that there was a sense for people to connect.
Yep. And we're down to the last seconds.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really excited that we're going to have him on next week because he's a long-term survivor. I believe I might have these facts wrong, but I believe he was one of the first diagnosed in the world, and only, I think, 1% of those people are still alive.
Yep.
And he is one of those, you know, survivors that fight strong with his message. And, again, it's onetoughpirate.com. And, Jeremy, thanks for joining me at our new time. I'm excited.
Thanks, everybody. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good evening.
And don't forget, next Sunday we will be on at 9 p.m. on Paz I Am Radio.